Rather than look at a Bible study this morning, I just had a thought that came into my heart as we were singing. It came up in two songs. And I think it's found in Leviticus 14. Let's see. We spoke about the blood and about the spirit. And in more than one song we sang, those two thoughts went together. The Holy Spirit, hour by hour, under the blood, exerts his sanctifying power under the precious blood. Let's see. Cleansing, yeah. Now here we read about the cleansing of the leper. Cleansing from infectious skin diseases. Well, that's a chapter you want to read, right? And we're reminded of those 10 lepers. I think it's in the Gospel of Luke that came to Jesus. And he said, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that the law instructs us to do. And as they turned and went to the priest, they were cleansed, all 10 of them. But how many came back to say thank you?
One.
Only one. And of all of them, he was a Samaritan, right? The last one you would expect to have any gratitude toward God, and so on. Jesus often made the Samaritans the heroes of his story. Have you noticed that? Sort of to challenge the thinking of and the prejudices that were in the hearts of the people. But here we read that this is what they did, evidently. They went to the priest that he might confirm the fact that they were healed. He had to examine them. You couldn't just say you were healed when you really weren't, and then go back into society and mix among your family and friends again. That had to be confirmed by the priest. And then there were offerings and sacrifices that the priest had to offer, thanking God and putting his seal upon that healing. And so here we read that a guilt offering was to be offered and a wave offering as well. And in verse 12, it says, the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering, along with a log of oil. And he shall wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. He's to slaughter the lamb in the holy place where the sin offering and the burnt offerings are slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then the priest is to take some of the log of oil, pour it in the palm of his own left hand, dip his right forefinger in the oil, in his palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord 7 times. Then the priest is to put some of the remaining oil in the palm of the lobe of his right hand. The priest is to put some before the Lord 7 times. The priest is to put some of the oil remaining in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. The rest of the oil in the palm the priest shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed and make atonement for him before the Lord. Brother Ernie Walfogel often goes to California to minister to Asian people there. He has that ministry that God has given him. And one year he wanted me to come along with him and minister to the young people, junior high school age. And he was going to minister to older young people, college age. And so we had a great time together in San Francisco. I never saw San Francisco. I only saw the airport and the hotel. That's where the conference was held. And I told this story to the young people. And, you know, when I talk to kids, I like to have objects sometimes. That helps. And I brought red stickers. And I gave everybody a red sticker and a yellow sticker. And I said, okay, let's take these three red stickers and let's put the blood on our ear. So they all had a red sticker on their right earlobe and on their right thumb. And they didn't have to take off their shoes. It was preferred that they didn't. But we figured out where the right toe would be, and we stuck a red sticker there too. And we talked about the blood of Jesus and how Jesus wants to cover us completely with his precious blood. Every area of our life he wants to forgive and cleanse. I was reading the book Kept for the Master's Use, and at another youth conference that I was speaking at not too long ago among our fellowship churches, the Lord led me to speak about how Jesus, dying on that cross, redeemed every part of us by his precious blood. And we spoke about how he redeemed our minds. He cleanses our minds. He claims our minds. He wants to fill our minds with his thoughts and anoint our minds. And that is represented by the crown of thorns. When we think of the crown of thorns pierced into his brow, we think of Jesus redeeming our minds. And when we think of the nails that pierced his hands, we think of Jesus redeeming our service. And when we think of the nail through his feet, we think of him redeeming our path and so on. And we went down, we made that connection. Francis Havergal did it much better than I could. It's a wonderful book to read. And she's the author of that song, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And there she goes in that song. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful for thee. And just as she covers all the bases and helps us to understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit, every part of us. And so we had the red stickers. But then it tells us that that the priest not only put the blood on them, that spoke of healing and spoke of cleansing and forgiveness, but then on top of the blood was the oil. So we took out our yellow stickers, and now we had a red and yellow sticker on us. And that reminded us that Jesus, now the Holy Spirit is drawn to the blood. Like a bee is drawn to honey, the Holy Spirit is drawn to the blood. Natalie told me there were three wasps up in the waitress quarters. And I said, honey, we don't like to categorize people. Whoever they are, they're welcome to serve a pilgrim camp. No, she was talking about the bugs. And I didn't really say that to her, did I? No? Okay. But as a bee is drawn to honey, the Holy Spirit is attracted to the blood. When he sees there's cleansing, and when he sees there's forgiveness, he moves to hover over that life and to anoint that life for service. It's the blood that makes us worthy to come into the presence of God, into the throne room of God, the throne of grace. We can approach that throne. Before we were cleansed in the blood, we did not have access to the Lord. Oh, God in his great mercy sometimes answered prayer. Sometimes, that's an understatement. I'm sure he watched over us, and because he's so overflowing with love and mercy, he causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust, and he shows mercy to those that don't deserve it, and none of us do. But when we come to Jesus as guilty sinners and we bow at the cross and we allow his precious blood to atone for our sin, and we claim that, Lord, you took my blame. You were punished. You took the punishment that I deserved. You took my blame there on the cross. And now God gives me the credit for the perfect life that you lived. And he looks upon me as his own child. And he invites me now to come into his presence. He makes me worthy to approach him and to have audience with him and to pour out my heart before him and to enjoy his presence. What a miracle. And so those of us who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, I trust that's every one of us. I trust you've settled that already. It's not something we want to put off any longer. It's time for us to say, Jesus, I give myself fully to you. Wash me and cleanse me and make me the person you brought me into this world to be. We still have time for God to work in us if we give him that time. But now the next thing God wants to do is fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to anoint us. It wasn't long after Jesus died on Calvary that he poured out the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. And even on that very day, there were 3,000 that were cleansed and filled on the same day. Because the Holy Spirit is very desirous to anoint us for service. And to teach us, enable us to live in God's presence. And so, we who are washed in the blood, we ought to expect that the Holy Spirit will come and fill us and anoint us with fresh oil. And we ought to pray that way. Lord, I need to be filled with your Spirit. I need your Spirit to take control of my life, to make Jesus real and precious to me, and then to work in me so that I can be what God would have me to be. It's not how much of the Holy Spirit we have, is often said, but it's how much of us the Holy Spirit has. You know, people have argued over that. How can you have more of the Holy Spirit? You know, he's not a substance that you can measure. You have some, and you have more, and you have less. But the idea is to be filled with the Spirit means that the Spirit is taking control of our lives, that he's subduing our flesh and he's making us like Jesus. He's causing the life of Jesus to shine forth in our lives. And we ought to be believing God for that. You can't earn that. Just in the same way you couldn't earn your forgiveness, it was you received that by faith, you repented, and you humbled yourself before God, and you acknowledged your need of his cleansing, and you thanked him for what he did for you on Calvary. And there, Jesus settled it. And now it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. We need to give God time to allow his Spirit to come and fill us. And sometimes we get discouraged because we say, wow, I've been praying about this and nothing's happening, it seems. But that ought to be our attitude. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe we ought to be praying and saying, Lord, I thank you. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is placed upon the blood. And I thank you, Jesus, that your Spirit is filling me as I'm seeking you. You know, we don't see an overflow when you fill a cup right away. It takes time. First, it starts at the bottom and up, 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 up. And then finally, it overflows. Praise God. And if you stop halfway and say, this cup is not overflowing yet, I give up. It'll never overflow. Brother Edwin used to talk about people that really weren't filled with the Spirit, but they thought they were, they acted like they were, and he said they were like cups that were half full trying to run over, flow over. You know, they tried to work it up with a lot of peppy music and stuff like that. But he said, but that's just a half a cup trying to overflow. Sad. He said, but God wants us to stay in his presence and keep in faith and just believe that Jesus will baptize. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John the Baptist said that, and that's recorded for us in all four Gospels, that John the Baptist pointed us to Jesus as the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so you can't baptize yourself in the Holy Spirit. You can't bring yourself under the control of God's Spirit, but you can give God time to do what he loves to do. As we were sitting in God's presence last night, and we had that time of quiet, I thought about what the Bible said about Solomon's temple. The Bible says that Solomon's temple was erected without the sound of a chisel or a hammer. That all the stones were chiseled into shape outside the city. And when they put the temple together, it was done quietly. each piece just fit in place. And as we were sitting there in silence, I thought, God is building his temple in us. God is building a place that he can dwell and he can manifest his glory. And it's often done very quietly. And so don't minimize what God does for us in those times of silence. And don't minimize what God does for us when we give any time to him. Sometimes it doesn't feel like anything's happening, but God is filling. God is coming. God is causing his work to go forward in our life as we believe him. And so we need to keep in faith. And the Lord even helps us to do that. Praise God. Perhaps at this time at Pilgrim Camp, you'll experience the overflow that you've been looking for. I wouldn't be surprised. And then for us who have been filled to some extent, there's fresh infillings, there's fuller infillings. We know that God has more for us. People in the Bible were filled with the Spirit over and over again. And God wants us to learn to keep filled. Get filled and keep filled. And so I just thought of those things as we were singing about the blood. Oh, the blood and the Spirit, they go hand in hand. He cleanses us with his blood so that he could fill us with his Spirit. We're his temples. He wants the temples to be clean. He purges them. And then he comes in and he manifests his glory in that temple. The Bible tells us the temple was so greatly filled with the glory of God that the priests couldn't minister. They fell on their faces. They had to get out of there. God took over. Man had nothing to do. God did it all. And I think that's a picture of what God wants to do ultimately. And I suppose very few people that profess to be filled with the Spirit would say that I've gotten to the place where I'm fully taken over by, fully possessed by the Spirit. But that's God's goal. And so that's why we keep reaching out for more and keep giving God opportunity to work in us. Praise God. And so let's believe God for that. Just one other thing. When I was up at camp, we did a study. I was living up at Pilgrim Camp, and Brother Gardner said we should do a study on the Holy Spirit. So we were reading about the Holy Spirit. And I remember reading Acts chapter 10. And there's a story where Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. And it's so wonderful the way the Lord orchestrated all of that. Right? Cornelius is praying in his house, and he gets a vision of a man coming, preaching to them. And Peter's praying on his roof, and he gets a vision of the unclean animals representing the Gentiles three times coming down from heaven. And then suddenly there's a knock on the door, and there are three men, right? Three sheets, three men. And, you know, the Lord made it very easy for Peter to put it all together, right? And so he goes to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius tells him what he experienced, and Peter recognizes God is in this. You know, God had to make that very clear to Peter because they had trouble with this understanding that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And Peter naturally would have never stepped into the home of a Gentile. But God had made it so clear that this was his will that Peter obeyed. And Peter comes into the house, and as he begins to speak to them about Jesus and what he has done for them on Calvary and so on, it says the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they all began to speak in tongues. It was another Pentecost, just like in Jerusalem. The same manifestation. Peter said, wow, oh, God's doing the same thing to the Gentiles that he did to us. He gives them the same gift. He accepts them just as he accepted us. And I looked in the Strong's Concordance under the Greek word fell. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And I found that word to be very interesting. Because it's in one case, it said, a violent seizing. A violent seizing. And so you can picture that. Peter's preaching, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes down and grabs everybody, and he fills them, and they start speaking in tongues, and it's like a really... But another... definition of that word in the Greek is a gentle embrace. I thought, well, that's just the opposite. You know, violent seizures is when my kid's doing something, I grab them, and, you know. And, you know, maybe they're running into the street, and so I violently grab them. And maybe I hurt them in the process, but I didn't mean to. It was for their good. But a gentle embrace is different. And I can see that happening, too. Have you ever been in a meeting when there's just a gentle embrace of the Holy Spirit? He just comes and wraps his arms around you. It fills you. So the Lord fills us powerfully and dramatically at times. Sometimes in a meeting we're praising and God's pouring out His Spirit. People are dancing in the Spirit and there's such a mighty outpouring and move. And we say, that was a great meeting. God was there. But sometimes the meeting gets so quiet and He's just embracing us and building His temple and filling His temple with His glory. We need both. We need to learn to let the Spirit of God fill us no matter what the meeting is like. Lay all our preferences aside and say, Lord, I'm your temple. You know how to fill me. You're the baptizer. And Lord, I may have been seeking a long time and it seems like nothing's happening. Get me out of that attitude and bring me into faith. Bring me into faith. Help me to believe that as I'm seeking you, I'm finding you. That the Spirit hovers over the blood. And as I keep my heart clean and I register my faith in the blood of Jesus day by day, and I give you time to work, that you will fill the temple with your glory. Praise God. Let's stand and sing that chorus. Let the temple be filled with His glory and the courts filled with His praise. It's not in the book. Let us worship the Lord in the Holy of Holies. Zion rejoices again. And then we'll be dismissed. Praise God. Do we have a prayer meeting today? I didn't bring my note. It's Tuesday. Tuesday, 4:15, prayer meeting. Staff is strongly urged, required, and commanded to be there if you're not on duty. Okay, and it's just going to be for that half hour before supper, 4:15 to 4:45, I think. And so I just remind you of that, okay? But let's sing that chorus. Let the temple be filled with His glory. Hallelujah. Let's keep in this attitude of faith, even as we're working today or whatever we're doing. Praise God. God does not have to only fill you in this room. You can get filled anywhere, anytime. Hallelujah. Where Jesus is, it's heaven right there. Praise God. Sister Lisa, will you pray with us, please? Thank you.
Jesus, thank you for this time we have with you, Lord. Thank you for this place, this camp, Lord, where we can come in unity and seek you, Lord, and where you're found, Lord, as your presence has set in, Lord. And we just praise you and keep that attitude all day today, Lord, and we tell you that we love you.
Amen. God bless you all. See you at 4:15. Amen.